Blog Talk Radio.
That you had a wonderful weekend, and now it is time for to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it, and welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to join in at 7 p.m. and give us your thoughts and comments on what the writer is conveying. Amen. And you can also call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. At this time, I'll say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, at this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
God on high. You sit high and lifted up, seated on your throne. You are the King who reigns over all. Seraphims fly around you, each having six wings. With two wings, they cover their faces. With two wings, they cover their feet. And with two wings, they fly, shouting to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the God on high." As the foundation of the temple trembles at your very presence, you are to be honored, loved, and adored at all times. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. And you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Feel free to join us at 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Again, at this time, I will play another selection.
Lord, I can. Lord, I come. I tell you, I'm moving.
Praise be to God. Can't wait till I get up there. God on high, touch my lips with a burning coal, as an angel touched the lips of Isaiah as he stood in your presence. For I am also a person of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. God on high, humbly I bow before you and ask for your cleansing power in my life. I confess I have not recognized your glory for all its worth or acknowledge your greatness in the expense of your creation. The oceans are but a drop of water to you. The galaxies like the gnats in space. The highest peak on earth is merely a footstool for you, because you are God on high. Amen, amen, and amen. And all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection. I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. Impossible things, that's who I am, just
When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
I am. One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be peace.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Faithful in All. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Luke chapter 16, verse 10. And it says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. Amen. To God be the glory. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. God can absolutely revolutionize your life, regardless of whether that means a change of career, location, relationship, or situation. The Lord can work supernaturally in your circumstances. However, you must be willing to do what he says in his timing and way. Are you willing to trust him wholeheartedly? Hymn writer John H. Samus expressed it like this: trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let me add that there is no such thing as joy apart from Jesus. Without a right relationship with Christ, you will never have the contentment, peace, or assurance you were created for. Nothing else in this world can ever truly satisfy as he can. So to become a holy, surrendered disciple of Jesus, you must begin by obeying him in every aspect of your life. However small it may appear, unless you say yes to the seemingly little instructions from the Lord, you will never really know what your life can be or what wonderful blessings can be yours. Why risk losing when you can be certain of winning? Obey God and leave the consequences to him. Amen. To God be the glory. Jesus, I want to be obedient and faithful to you, even in the smallest things. Lead me in every way, my Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. I pray that it blessed you as much as it blessed me. Amen. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please tune in at 7 p.m., 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Played it a million times, but still it escapes my mind. The grace you've shown towards me, I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me, I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me. Ever rise.
wise up. What's the scheme? Stop scheming. Just a matter of time before you run out of luck. They always say they got your back. Hard time will make you face the truth back. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the dark, disappoints answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
He does. Hallelujah. God on high, thank you for the vastness of who you are. Thank you for allowing me to experience the breadth of your creation the way you have. My body alone is a majestic piece of intricate art and science, woven together by the Master Creator. Thank you for holding all things together, God on high. I lift up my grateful spirit for all you have made, for all you are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. Praise be to God. So right now, I'm going to play another selection, Lift Him Up by Brian Cage. Amen. Praise God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. No matter what, come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows everything.
I have the victory, cause
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
The problem may be,
He's in control,
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
peace. Come on, lift Him up in here.
Lord, rejoice, and shout unto
Him. Why? When you come to
triumph
in you.
Triumph, and we know.
You're in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
That again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
be. Clap your hands like this, sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
If you believe that, sing this with us, let the people come on, lift him up,
rejoice,
and shout unto him,
and shout unto
the one you call him.
Has always since the beginning of time, and he was born. Of a virgin into this life. Oh, he
manifested.
Yes, he did.
Amen. Praise God. God on high, show me your grandeur. Bring me into your courts with praise, with humility and with awe. Send me as you sent Isaiah when he saw you high and lifted up, seated on your throne, to do your will at your bidding, to advance your kingdom on earth. The kings of earth are nothing compared to you. The problems we face in our homes, churches, and communities, and the challenges we see in our nation and world, they are easily solved by a God who is high and exalted. Grant wisdom to me and to others so we can live according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play a short selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Got it. Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. This, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say,
awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say,
awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, by his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify, you know he's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice and say, come on Somebody ought to celebrate the arms of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, we are going to get ready to go into our lesson for this evening with our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. Praise God.
Praise God. Yes, yes. Anyone else on the line with us?
No.
Okay. I would like to open in prayer. Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to give you glory, praise, and honor. Father God, without you, where would we be? So I thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. This Tuesday, June 14th, Father God, 2022. We thank you for all you've done for us today, all you're doing for us right now, and all that you will do for us in the future. God, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Bless everybody that's on the line this evening. Bless those who had a mind to come on but weren't able to. Bless those who even thought about us tonight. Lord God, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Praying that Apostle Robert Wiggins is enjoying his birthday. Many, many more to him. And let him know that we love him and we're praying for him. So we thank you once more for who you are, Lord God, in our lives. Again, without you, we could do nothing. But with you, we can do all things. We can conquer this world. So, Lord, wherever you need us, and that's everywhere, I pray that you'll be there. Your presence will be felt. Your deliverance will be encountered and felt. We thank you. Again, thank you so very much, Father God. For all these many blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son Jesus. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I just ran in here not too long ago, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, I give everybody 15 minutes grace, so don't ever feel that, you know, to rush, because you know what happens when you rush? Things don't go.
You forget something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, or you forget something. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
How you feeling today?
I'm thankful that you are here.
Praise God. How are you feeling today?
Much better. Much, much
all
better.
Right.
Thank God.
Glad to hear that. Amen. So we're going to get right into our lesson. We're continuing our study of basic theology. The topic this moment is the biblical concept of sin. And we talked about what sin is last week. What is it again?
Is the transgression against God, when we sin and sin against God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Knowing the right from the wrong, and you choose to do the wrong, the transgression against Him. It's like mm-hmm. you don't care what He's saying, what His commands are, He's on
right.
what He's willing, you're doing what you want to do. Amen. So we're going to continue on page 240, and this one is ta'a. Ta'a. This word means to wander away, to go astray, The sin is deliberate, not accidental, even though the person may not realize the scope of his sin. Notice Numbers 15:22, Psalms 58:3, Psalms 119:21, Isaiah 53:6, and Ezekiel 44:10-15. From the word study, we may draw certain conclusions about the Old Testament teaching on sin. Number one, sin may take many forms, and because of the variety of words used, an Israelite could be aware of the form of his sin, of the particular form his sin took. Number two, sin is that which is contrary to a norm, and ultimately, it is disobedience to God. And three, although disobedience involves both positive and negative ideas, the emphasis is on the positive commission of wrong and not merely on the negative omission of good, because we know we commit sin through omission and commission, knowingly and unknowingly. Sin was not only missing the mark, but hitting the wrong mark. Mm-hmm. So we're ready now for Numbers 15:22.
Okay. I'm reading from the New Living. But suppose you unintentionally fail to carry out all these commands that the Lord has given you through Moses. Amen.
Okay. And I just want to continue saying, but if you should, this is the message.
Okay.
But if you should get off the beaten track and not keep the commands which God spoke to Moses, any of the things that God commanded you under the authority of Moses from the time that God first commanded you right up to this present time, and if it happened more or less by mistake with the congregation unaware of it, then the whole congregation is to sacrifice one young bull as a whole burnt offering, a pleasing fragrance to God, accompanied by its grain offering and drink offering, as stipulated in the rules, and a he-goat as an absolution offering. The priest is to atone for the entire community of the people of Israel. They will stand forgiven. The sin was not deliberate, and they offered to God the fire gift, absolution gift, for their inadvertence. The whole community of Israel, including the foreigners living there, will be absolved because everyone was involved in the error.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
And everyone was involved in the error. That means, well, to me, it means everybody sinned.
No, it was saying that. What did it say? If you should get off the beaten track and not keep the commands which God spoke to Moses, it doesn't say everybody did it, but anybody doing it, not the whole congregation, but because of that one sinner, more or less by mistake, with the congregation unaware of it, then the whole congregation is to sacrifice what they need to sacrifice. And the priest is to atone for the entire community of the people of Israel, and they will stand forgiven. So one person may have committed the sin unknowingly, but the whole congregation was held accountable for it. And because they sacrificed that bull and did grain offering and absolution offering, they were forgiven of that sin because it was done in error. It was inadvertently done.
Okay. I got it now.
Let's look now at Psalm 58:3.
Okay. Okay, Psalm 58:3. These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth, they have lied and gone their own way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So these people were born in sin. They are born sinners, and from birth, and they have lied and gone their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so mine says, again, the message, the wicked call from the wrong side of the cradle. Their first words out of the womb are lies, poison, lethal rattlesnake poison, dripped from their forked tongues to charm. Decades of wax built up in their ears. And we see that that kind of goes back with Psalm 51, where David is talking about in sin his mother conceived him.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But that's talking about the mother. That's not talking about the child. Here, they're talking about the child. The wicked child comes out wicked. Amen?
Amen.
He's wicked from the cradle.
Yes.
So his first words are lies. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, wow. And that's the way. How it is today.
Well, we're talking, nothing's really changed.
Nothing.
Nothing's really changed.
Just been from the old to the new.
Different generation.
Right. Yes. Every generation is different.
Let's talk about, every generation is the same. They're doing the same things that they were doing back then.
That they're doing today. Right.
They're doing, the same thing. They're different in ways of knowledge and technology and, certain things have been more modernized.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get right down to it, they're just like the people from those days, in a way,
Yes. Yes, I understand.
Psalms 119, verse 21.
Okay. 119:21 says, "You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed." Okay.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. So if you're cursed, then you're being rebuked because of your arrogance, and you wander from God's commands. So that's why we had a curse, because we disobeyed God's command.
Mhm. I'm going to read mine, but it starts at 17.
Okay.
To 24. "Be generous with me, and I'll live a full life. Not for a minute will I take my eyes off your roads. Open my eyes so I can see what you show me of your miracle wonders. I'm a stranger in these parts. Give me clear directions. My soul is starved and hungry, ravenous, insatiable for your nourishing commands. And those who think they know so much, ignoring everything you tell them, let them have it. Don't let them mock and humiliate me. I've been careful to do just what you said, while bad neighbors maliciously gossip about me. I'm absorbed in pondering your wise counsel. Yes, your sayings on life are what give me delight. I listen to them as to good neighbors."
Amen, amen.
Wow. So this is a plea. Don't let them talk about me. Don't let them maliciously gossip about me. I'm following your command.
Yeah.
We have those wicked ones, those wicked neighbors and people, period, who want to do those things and besmirch your reputation, which again goes back to the cradle. They're lies.
Yes.
Lies.
Lies.
Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Lies they tell. Isaiah 53:6.
Oh. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Amen. Yep.
Okay.
We all did.
That's clear.
Yep.
Right?
Very clear.
So what does it mean?
Well, we left God's, we are all, you know, like sheep. We all strayed away from God's word and from God's command, so we want to follow our own way instead of God's way.
And wandered off like sheep and gotten lost.
Yes, because sheep don't know direction. They just walk.
Sheep don't know direction. Sheep is plural, so you don't have to put the S on the back of sheep.
Oh, sheep. Okay.
Yeah, sheep is plural. So we're all like sheep who wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him.
Yes.
On him.
On him, meaning on his son.
Wow. Everything we've done wrong is piled on Jesus.
Yes.
That's
what he said
there in verse 6. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And the last part, Ezekiel 44:10 and then 15.
Okay. Ezekiel 44:10 says, 9, where's 10? Okay. And the men of the tribe of Levi who abandoned me when Israel strayed away from me to worship idols must bear the consequences of their unfaithfulness.
What does that mean?
Make sure I read. So the Levites are the priests, and the priests they abandoned God, and they decide to go and worship idols as for their God.
Yes.
So then now you know we have to bear the consequences of unfaithfulness. Not all of them were unfaithful to God, but a proportion of them was. So,
right, enough were.
Yes.
Enough were. Amen. And so also now we're going to look at 15
says, however, the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok continued to minister faithfully in the temple when Israel abandoned me for idols. These men will serve as my ministers. They will stand in my presence and offer the fat and blood of the sacrifices, says the sovereign Lord. So those ones that were faithful, they stayed in the temple, and so you know, they made sacrifices for the sins of them.
Right. They were faithful.
Yes.
They were the faithful ones. No matter what was going on, they remained in the temple as priests and did what they were supposed to do faithfully.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Wow. So let's go to part 2 in the New Testament. All of that was the Old Testament. Now we're looking at sin in the new, the concept of sin in the New Testament.
Amen.
The New Testament employs at least a dozen basic words to describe sin. A, kakos, meaning bad. The adverb is sometimes used of physical badness, that is, disease, as in Mark 1 and 32. But the adjective usually indicates moral badness, not just disease, but moral badness, as in Matthew 21 and 41, 24, 48, Mark 7, 21, Acts 9, 13, Romans 12, 17, 13, 3 through 4, 10, 16, 19, and 1 Timothy.
Wow.
1 Timothy 6 and 10. All right. This is kaka, meaning bad.
Mark
1 and 32.
Mark. Okay. So that evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That says it.
Yep, that's it. That says it right there. He healed all the people that were sick was brought to him, and he healed them.
Right. Okay. And mine also says, one minute, I turn the page.
Okay.
Mark 1 also says the sick and evil afflicted people. So not only those who were physically sick, but those who were evilly sick.
Yes.
Evil sick bodies. Wow. I'm sorry, it says evil afflicted people. All right, so let's go to Matthew.
Way more afflicted.
21. And 41.
Okay. 41 says, the religious leaders replied, he will put the wicked men to a horrible death. No, that's 41, right?
Yes.
Oh, I was right. The religious leaders replied, he will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest. So that one there means that the wicked person who had the vineyard wasn't sharing the crop with the rest of the people. So
he's gonna kill them.
Yes.
The farmer is gonna get killed. He'll kill them, a rotten them, and good riddance, they answered. Then he'll assign the vineyard to farmhands who will hand over the profits when it's time. So those wicked farmland owners will be killed. Their property will be given to the farmhands.
Good.
Who will give over the profits when the crops come in. When the crops are ready to harvest. So
when you're greedy like that, you don't fare good. You have to share. Share the wealth.
And do the right thing.
Exactly. That's right.
Let's look at Matthew 24 and 48.
Okay, 24 and 48. This is Jesus speaking. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while. Yeah, right. Amen. So the master, he says that, but what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while? So even mm-hmm. if the master don't be back for a while, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to take what is not yours.
Mm-hmm. Basically take over the household and start throwing wild parties and mm-hmm. drunken parties and not knowing when the master's going to come back. And at least, and it says, the master is going to show up when he least expects it and
exactly.
make a pact of him. So he's going to be punished. You took my house. You throw in these wild and crazy parties. Who gave you permission? Who gave you the authority? You know? Who do you think you are?
Yep.
This is my house.
The master left you in charge, and you're going to
exactly.
take upon yourself to do what you want to do.
To have wild, drunken parties.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not taking care of your work.
Of course not. That's because he's too busy partying.
There you go. That's wicked. That's wicked. When and you know I wrote a poem about it. Who are you when nobody's watching?
Exactly.
So even though you've been assigned something. And you mm-hmm. think nobody's looking. You're going to do what you want to do. But somebody's mm-hmm. always watching.
Absolutely.
God is always watching. Sometimes your neighbors and those surrounding you are watching. They may not be in front of you. They may be, you know, wherever in their windows. But where's your integrity? You got to be watched before you know to do the right thing. I didn't hear you.
The neighbors are peeping behind the curtain.
Right. Right. And they could do that.
Of course they
do. From behind the blinds, they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you think that nobody's looking and, who's going to know? Yeah, God is going to know. Mm-hmm. Your neighbors don't know. God will always
That's
know.
Right. Absolutely.
And like I said, where is the integrity? You always have to have somebody standing there watching you for you to do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Yeah, especially if when you want to use other people's property.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at Acts 9 and 13.
You skipped one. So we just finished Matthew. Mark 7 and 21.
Yeah, we just read that. Acts 9:13.
Within out of a person's heart. No, we didn't read Mark 7:21.
We didn't read that?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, let's see. I had turned to it, so.
Yeah.
7 and 21.
Maybe that's why you thought we read it.
Right. Okay, if you would.
Okay.
Jesus
is talking. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, thief, murder. Yep.
Mm.
That's it.
All right. And mine says, he went on.
Mm-hmm.
It's what comes out of a person that pollutes. Obscenities, lust, theft,
mm-hmm.
murder, adultery, greed, depravity, deceptive mm-hmm. dealings, carousing, mm-hmm. mean looks,
mm-hmm.
slander, arrogance, foolishness. All
Ooh.
These are vomit from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
There is the source. There is the source of your pollution.
Can you imagine?
Right.
Oof. To have a heart like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's not what comes out of a man. It's what comes out of a man, rather. It's not what goes into him, like he was saying.
Yes.
So they drank food with dirty hands. They ate food with dirty hands, and that's
right.
not the problem.
Nope.
What comes out of a man is what pollutes him.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
That's what makes him dirty, what comes out of the man,
and
not what goes into him. Because what goes into him will
mm-hmm.
come out in the bowels. If he eats something dirty or whatever, it's
yes.
going to come out in the bowels.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So it will be itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, now we're going to go to, thank you for that. Now
you
we're going to go to Acts 9:13.
Okay. So Acts 9:13 says, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. So now he's talking to the Lord about Paul, back then,
mm-hmm.
Saul, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and how he was killing the believers and
the Christians,
yes,
the Christians,
mm-hmm.
Christian believers,
yes.
All right,
that's what that was.
Romans,
okay,
mm-hmm. Romans. 12:17.
Okay. Romans 17 says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Yeah, so if a person do wrong, then you don't do back wrong or evil to that person. You do good.
Right. Right. You don't do payback.
Right.
Amen.
Like
the Lord will
like
still
the old
do that.
Man.
Like James Brown.
Yes.
A big payback.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that as Christians.
No,
we shouldn't anyway.
Well, we shouldn't.
God will handle that.
Yes.
Yeah, we shouldn't is the key word. Because some do.
Yeah. I think I'd rather do good than to go to the evil wickedness because that makes
exactly.
it worse. Yeah.
Exactly. And your conscience.
Yeah.
When you do something wrong, I mean,
yes,
you know, the conscience bothers me.
Woo, girl.
So I'd rather not go through that.
Something I ain't got no business doing, my conscience almost eat me alive.
I
do the right thing. And ask
exactly.
for forgiveness. Oh, my
goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Romans 13:3-4.
Okay. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. And 4 says, the authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course, you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are the God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I'll just read a portion of the message where it says, God also has an interest in
mm-hmm.
keeping order, and he uses them, talking about the police who should not be admired just because of their uniforms. But
yes.
He uses them to order. That's why you must live responsibly, not just to avoid punishment, but also because it's the right way to live.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not to not do the wrong thing just to not get whipped, you know? But it's the right way to do that. It's the right way to live. Again,
absolutely.
With integrity. With your integrity.
Mm.
All right.
Well, I guess the window.
Yeah, for those who don't care, you know,
exactly.
And don't really have a conscience, because we have some of them too.
Yeah.
They do things and they don't really have a conscience. 13, 4, and then now 10.
Okay, 13, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 3, 4, then 10. And 10 says, 10, where are you? 9. They're so small. Okay. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Amen.
All right. And mine says, I'll need a portion of it. It goes back to 8. I was trying to see a cutoff point before 10. It says, don't run up debt except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. What the law has been after all along. The law code. Don't sleep with another person's spouse. Don't take someone's life. Don't take what isn't yours. Don't always be wanting what you don't have and any other don't you can think of. Finally, adds up to this. Love other people as well as you do yourself.
Yes.
Can't go wrong when you love others.
That's
when you add up everything in the law code, the sum total is love.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We had a topic in Sunday school. Let me see if there's one more. Let's read 1 Timothy 6 and 10. And if I get a minute, I'll come back to that talk. Huh?
We're at Romans 16, 19. No, Romans 16, 19.
Romans 16, 19? Where you go?
Yeah, after 10 is Romans 16, 19.
Oh, okay. All right, you're right.
19 says,
thank you.
You're welcome. 19 says, but everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong. Amen.
Thank you. And mine says, and so, while there has never been any question about your honesty in these matters, I couldn't be more proud of you.
Yeah.
I want you also to be smart, making every good thing, making sure every good thing is the real thing. Don't be gullible in regard to smooth-talking evil. Stay alert like this, and before you know it, the God of peace will come down on Satan with both feet, stomping him into the dirt. Enjoy the best of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's so profound.
And like I said, we know you're honest.
Yes.
But don't be listening to evil stuff and, you know, do the good stuff. You know, the real stuff.
Yes.
That's what you
stay
have to
away
do.
From that evil nonsense. Because
all it's going to do is
get you into bigger trouble.
Right. And like we just said, your conscience.
Yeah.
If you have one, it's going to tear you up.
That's right.
Yes, it will. Conscience. You're doing the wrong thing. It's going to eat you up.
Mm-hmm.
First Timothy 6 and 10.
Okay. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. That is so, so true. You got some people that love money so much they would do anything to get it.
I know it. That's a lot of the reason people get murdered and beat up and robbed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For the love of money.
That's it. People saying, oh, money is the root of all evil. No, it's the love of it.
There you go. There you go, which makes people do anything.
Absolutely. The people love to twist things around to suit their purpose.
Of course, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting back to what we were saying with the looking at 16 and what was it, Romans 13, 3 through 4 or 10, one of those. When we were talking in Sunday school about how people are, say you have a couple, right, a married couple, and they separate or they divorce or one dies, and then the surviving spouse, be it the man or the woman, is of the age that they want to have a girlfriend or boyfriend or maybe a wife or husband, but they have children. And so when they have these children, a lot of times the children do not care for the intended.
Absolutely.
And so they make it so that the woman is the one that's going to be the stepmother, all right, coming into the family. And they don't like her. And so she in turn probably doesn't like them either. And it's showing. But somebody was saying, but it doesn't matter what the children think. Yes, it does.
Yes,
it matters what the children think. They're not going to be there forever. And half the time when the surviving spouse is contemplating marriage, the children are out of the house anyway. They're not even there. But they still want to come along and tell daddy. They want to tell daddy what to do. Daddy, don't marry her. Daddy, you know, this and daddy that. And so he begins to put the children before the woman.
Yes, they do.
All right? And that causes conflict.
Yes.
So some of them were saying, oh, you know, it's none of their business. But again, to a certain extent, it is their business because whether they're in the household or not, they need to kind of get along with that next step parent, right?
Right, because it's not going to be forever.
No. It's not what?
It's not going to be, they're not going to be there with them forever unless they're one of them
they already
children
moved out.
Who don't want to be. Want to do anything.
They already moved out. They're not in the household.
Okay.
They're not even in the household.
Well,
they're grown and
they
got
the person what to do if they're not living there.
But they think that that's my daddy. That's my mother. I can tell her. I don't like who you're loving right now. And so they oftentimes influence the person that's contemplating marrying another person. All right? And so one person at the end of the discussion, because we kind of stayed on it for a minute, she said, love conquers all. I said, not really. Obviously, you haven't been in that situation, but I have. And love does not conquer all. You can love all day and all night, but if that person doesn't, they don't respect you, not to the point of, you know, just being abusive to you, but you don't get invited to the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, they don't give you presents, they don't celebrate your birthday. You know what I'm saying? You're just not even considered part of the family.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. So
you become the outcast.
Right. So where is the love? Oh, love
is not there.
Not in that case. Not in that case.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they may tell you to your face that they love you, but their actions show something different. Amen. And then we had one of the ministers. He was bent over laughing. I was like, what? What? Well, I see you. But the deal is that he's in a second marriage, and I think he probably went through some of the same stuff that I'm talking about, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened to his first wife, but he's married to a second person now. And he didn't comment on it, but his laughter was like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, you know? So I'm just saying, a lot of people come up with, quotes and just sayings, really. Love conquers all. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
No, in some cases, it doesn't.
It does not. It really doesn't. And like I said, you're not even considered part of the family. You're just her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're just her.
What's she doing here?
But listen, if you're married to him, that question should not be. What you're doing here, I live here, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so they probably wouldn't say that to your face. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's their behavior.
Action,
You're being excluded from the so-called family.
Yep.
Yeah, from the family happenings, the family situations, you're not included.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope.
And so like I said.
When it's like that, then why put yourself in a position where, you know, you're going to feel at the end of the evening, feel miserable, knowing that these people don't like you. They tolerate you, but they don't like you or love you.
Right. Yeah, that was a bit of our discussion on Sunday, so.
Wow.
Anyway,
yeah.
Let's go right on. What time is it? It's about 2:05.
Yeah, and there's a lot of scriptures.
Oh, you know what? We didn't go over the homework. We got homework.
Yes, we did.
So, did you get to do it?
What I found was, let me pull it up. It says in my thing that I looked it up on Google, says that showing results for did Jesus drink wine at the Last Supper or any time? It says search instead for did Jesus drink wine at the Last Supper or any time. Recommended. It says, unlike John the Baptist, Jesus drank wine.
Mm-hmm.
Explains Father Kendall, adding, from the description, it was most likely a Seder meal.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Seder? Oh, Seder is
the Seder meal.
That's when the Jews do the Seder meal during their is it New Year's or Christmas or one of them?
No, that's Passover.
Oh, Passover.
Wait. The Seder meal is Passover, and remember. Mm-hmm. He was crucified shortly after the Passover.
Okay.
That makes it the Last Supper.
The Last Supper. Yeah, and I'm sitting here looking at it, too.
It's okay. It's all right. That's how you learn. But
yeah.
I went to Google to go on. I know you had some more, but I think we went to the same site. But go on.
Yeah. You want me to go with the rest of them, what they said? Okay, so.
You have more because I want to read mine, too.
Yeah, I'll just read just one more from oneplace.com. Said, Jesus refused to drink ferment wine. Even when he was hanging on the cross and cried out, "I thirst," they gave him wine mingled with myrrh. But when he tasted it, he, you know, turned his head or spit it out.
Right.
He didn't drink it. So right. Some say he drank and some said he did not.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you. I'm glad you did it. And I researched it on Google also.
Yes.
And I got, well, the questions one and two. Number one, did Jesus drink wine?
Right.
And number two, Jesus drank it at the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the question, was Jesus a wine bibber? The Google response was Jesus was a social drinker. The wine was different, less potent, as he said, in the New Testament time versus the stronger wine in the days of John the Baptist.
Right.
And it referred me to Luke 7:33-34, where it says, drinking in moderation isn't sinful. Drunkenness and overindulgence is. So why did God give us wine? He intended it in order to let us sit with a steak or a pipe, enjoy good company, and let our hearts be glad. He gave us this gift because he loves us. Mm-hmm. A wine bibber is what? What is a wine bibber?
A wine dipper?
Well, B-I-B-B-E-R, B as in baby.
Where you only drink wine on, like, special occasions?
No.
No?
on
the night.
A wine bibber is a person who drinks a great deal of wine.
Oh,
has
no.
Nothing to do with special occasions. But when they drink a lot.
Okay.
So they considered him a wine bibber, saying that he was not just a social drinker. He drank a lot. And we never saw that anything in scripture says he was a wine bibber, except for, I believe, it was the Pharisees that accused him of that.
Yeah.
So number two, the answer is more than likely Jesus drank wine at the Last Supper. That was considered a Seder meal, the most important of Jewish feasts. Wine was or would have been part of the festivities. So wine was a part of the Passover meal. And when it's Passover time, you can, if you're in the Jewish section of town, you see them scurrying around with their cases sometimes of wine. All right?
Yeah.
For the Seder celebration. Some opinions vary as to the potency of the wine in Jesus' day. Some say it was 3/4 water diluted to purify the water that wasn't. And others opine the wine in the New Testament was rich and concentrated and popular. Archaeologists evidence and researched that. So archaeologists have said that the wine in Jesus' day was not watery, and therefore that's not what he drank, watery wine, but his wine was concentrated. It was rich, and it was popular, as per the archaeologists. So it seems the conclusion of the matter is that Jesus did drink wine when there were Passover celebrations. Amen?
Okay.
He was
so I just want to read what the Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, they said the biblical writers got it wrong and Jesus never actually drank wine or changed water to wine. God had allowed Jesus and his followers to drink wine while, of course, he did. In Judaism, there is a very special non-alcoholic wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from the Quora. Cura, Quora, Q-U-O-R-A.
Oh, the Quora. Yeah,
Quora.
I've seen that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's on my phone, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that that's a question that someone asked them and they researched it, and that's their conclusion, is
yes.
that he never drank wine. So we're still where we were. We don't know whether he drank it or not.
Exactly.
Some said he did,
some said he didn't. Saying that he did not drink wine, or if he did drink wine, it was a non-alcoholic wine. Now, I don't know, if you're making grapes, making wine out of grapes, grapes is very potent. I mean, they become very strong.
But the only way it could have been non-alcoholic is if the grapes were not fermented.
Right.
Or and not the grapes. Wait. No, not the grapes, but the wine that was stomped out from the grapes was not left to ferment. That's the only way. So if they stomped them and drank it right away, that was grape juice.
Yes, exactly.
But even the Quora never said that they drank grape juice.
No.
They said non-alcoholic wine.
Yes.
So, I mean, is it grape juice? Say grape juice. Don't say non-alcoholic. Is it wine or is it not wine?
No. But the next time I'm going to find out is there a non-alcoholic wine?
I just told you, but yeah, you can research it. That's a grape juice. And let's see. Okay, let's make that a part of homework too. Is there a non-alcoholic wine?
Okay.
Okay, homework.
Okie dokie. Where's my paper set? Oh, here it is. Let me write that down. Yeah, I got
it. Now, it may be in these modern times, but I don't know about back then.
Yeah, well, I know.
You can get non-alcoholic champagne.
A non-alcoholic
wine.
In
Jesus' day.
In Jesus' day.
Okay. So,
got it.
Question. Like I said, I know they have non-alcoholic champagne. They have non-alcoholic beer.
Yes.
But in those days, I don't know.
But we got
I always believed that he did not drink wine. But like I said, what I Googled and what you Googled seems to say he drank something, but it was 3/4 water.
Right.
Which amounted to basically being grape juice also.
Yeah.
You know, a light version of grape juice. But we'll find out. We'll find out. That's for next week. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your answers. I appreciate you.
Thank you for teaching the lesson. It was a good lesson. I enjoyed this one. So
God
next
be the glory.
Yeah, anytime we in the New Testament, then I can pretty much understand the New Testament better than I can the Old.
The Old Testament. I understand. Yes, I understand.
Yes.
When you're ready, would you take us out in prayer?
Okay. You said that the scripture was Luke 7.
Let me see. That was Luke 7, 33 through 34, yes.
Okay, 33. Right, when Jesus spoke.
Talking about drinking wine in moderation, which, again, John never did.
John didn't
touch wine. He was a Nazarite.
Exactly.
Nazarene.
Yeah.
So he didn't touch wine. He didn't cut his beard.
Nope. Because
he didn't touch grapes.
God told
them. That was their vow.
Yes. Yes, because he was going to be the forerunner for Jesus. And if Jesus ain't do all those things, then you know he's not going to do it. God said so.
Right.
Okay. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for all that was said this evening. We thanking you right now for life. We thanking you for strength. We thanking you for wisdom and understanding, discernment. We thank you for all of everything that you have opened up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to perceive what thus says the Lord. Thank you for our teacher who brought a beautiful lesson tonight in the New Testament, Lord. We're in the New Testament. Thank you, Jesus. And us, and
thank you
to open up our minds that we can hear and see and say what thus says the Lord. We appreciate everything that is was said tonight, and we are grateful, Lord God, that we come to you again this evening as humbly as we know how. Bless everyone on the line tonight, Lord God, those on the internet that hear the word that was spoken this evening. Thank you for our families, our neighbors, our enemies. Thank you for those in authority, Lord God. Touch their hearts, their minds, and souls, that they will make the right decisions for the people and for the country, Lord God. Continue to protect the people in Ukraine and any country that is in war at this time, Lord God. We ask that you put a hedge of protection, wrap your loving arms around each and every one of us and keep us and protect us from all hurt, harms, and danger. And Lord God, thank you for the praise report on Mother Wiggins, that she is doing better. She's healing nicely, Lord God. Hopefully she'll be going back to her her apartment. But, Lord God, you know best, and we don't want to rush anything. Everything is done in your time and your will. We ask all of this in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Barbara. God bless you, too. Love you. Hugs and kisses, and stay safe, okay?
Okay, I will. You do the same.
All right now. Shalom. Love you.
Shalom. Love you too. And we are out. Good night, everybody. We love you guys. And thank you.
Good night.
Good night.